hear if he was giving up.
Why did you talk for him?
Because I have the balls. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because it takes no balls to stand in front of 2,000 people and air
your laundry. It's 4,000. It's 4,000.
This is not the first time you've spoken for him, is it?
No.
By the way, look at him. He's actually he strapped his balls back on for a few minutes there.
Jen's humor damages their marriage when it puts Paul down. On the other hand, we have seen that Jen's jokes also keep them together when her humor interrupts Paul's anger or sadness. Her jokes also serve as an outlet when he will not let her express herself directly. Many women are more verbal than their husbands, who might react with anger or by stonewalling. Jen's challenge will be to find new ways to interrupt Paul's patterns without making him feel emasculated. Tony will not let Jen off the hook and will confront her until she understands how and why she overcomes her husband in conversation.
So this is not the first time you've done this, is it?
Okay, it's the second time.
Okay. You mean today?
No.
Or in the last hour?
Very funny.
Oh, I see. It's funny if you say it, but not if somebody else does.
Bingo.
Jen has demonstrated that she tends to dominate conversations with Paul. This means that any change that Paul might make here will later undergo Jen's judgment and criticism. In order to create a lasting change in the couple, Tony will work most directly with Jen. Paul will transform indirectly by witnessing Jen.
So why do you speak for him? Why do you decide what's funny and what's not?
I don't know. Oh, and if I did know, I still wouldn't know.
But you're the one who always knows because you speak for everyone. So
I don't speak for everyone.
Just for him?
No, I speak for myself, too.
Oh, so you speak for him and yourself. That's good. I believe you speak for yourself, too. Why do you speak for him? Why didn't you just let him share what he wanted to share?
Because I didn't know whether he'd be able to do it without getting jammed up.
So you went ahead and just did it for him?
Right.
And so how emasculated do you think he would feel living with someone who doesn't think he has the balls to do anything after he just stood up in front of the whole room, as he pointed out right after you said it?
Right.
How emasculated do you think that would make a man feel like you perceived him as being your man?
Can I say something?
Sure. I was asking a question, though.
Why did I speak for him? Is that,
no.
Is that still the one?
Were you not listening?
No, I wasn't. Not right now.
Is that a pattern as well?
No, that's his pattern.
Are you sure?
Definitely. I'm certain.
Is it yours as well?
No, I always listen.
Really? What did I just say?
When?
Just a moment ago. Don't stall for time. Tell me what I said.
Why was I afraid that he was going to get upset?
That's not what I asked. You obviously weren't listening.
Okay, so this was the one time I wasn't listening.
I'm glad we have a morning of firsts. You can act the shit with me, but you won't get the shit with me. You can leave the conversation with me. You can choose to do that because you can't deal with it. Or you can talk to me, but you can't talk to me and bullshit me. I'm not your little pussy man next to you.
My man's not a pussy.
You can slap around and you can dominate until the point that he finally gets pissed enough that he does something. I'm not that man.
Neither is he.
Boy, you seem to know a lot about him. So you don't listen. You decide what's going to be shared. You decide what it's going to be. You anticipate how it's going to be. And you work incredibly hard to control your world for one reason. You're scared shitless and you're driven by certainty.